You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Church Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." This is the word of the Lord.
Tori Kelly released a love song a couple years back with Ed Sheeran. That's a match made in heaven right there, if you ask me. And in the song, it's about this dangerous plan for love, where they're going to take a risk on love. They're going to take their chances on love, but she's afraid that her heart's going to be broken. Her heart's been broken before, and so she's afraid to make herself vulnerable once again. But they confess that this is that something that they've been waiting for their whole life. And so the chorus goes like this. "I was made for loving you. Even though we may be hopeless hearts just passing through, every bone screaming, I don't know what to do. All I know, darling, is I was made for loving you. I was made for this." You see, whether it is love or parenting or a career or sports or a degree or a talent or whatever the case may be, we all love this idea of discovering that thing that we were made for, of coming in contact and the pieces clicking together and us discovering that thing that we were made for. Mark Twain captured it well when he said this: "The two most important days in your life is the day that you were born and the day that you find out why." See, we search for that thing that brings clarity to our existence, that thing that we can't help but running after and giving our lives to, that thing that leaves us saying, I don't know about life, I don't know about all these details, but what I do know is I was made for this. Why? Why do we all have this drive to discover this thing? Well, as Paul Tripp pointed out, there is woven or written into us, inside each of us, a desire for something more. A craving to be a part of something bigger, greater, and more profound than our relatively meaningless day-by-day existence. In other words, there is something written into us to crave something greater and bigger than just jobs and just degrees and just houses and just romance and even just kids. Something written into us to crave something more. And Paul Tripp says that is written into us by God. And yet in our search for that thing that we all wait our whole lives to discover, often it is overlooked or overshadowed by other things, or like we see in the account of Jonah, outright rejected. What I want to propose to you this morning is that this experience of life, this discovering the why behind our existence, your meaning, your identity, your purpose, I want to propose that those questions are answered on the pages of Scripture. Clarity to these questions, that big question behind your existence, is found in God's Word. And illustrated for us this morning in these first few verses of Jonah. What we see in these verses are two things, two points that I'll be drawing out of this passage this morning, if you're taking notes, that I believe brings clarity to our meaning and clarity to our purpose as people. The first is that God speaks, and the second is that God sends. God speaks and God sends. The first thing we see is that God speaks. Verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." Now you may be asking yourself right off the bat, right out of the gate, I want to hear about meaning. I want to hear about my meaning. Why? What does this have to do with God speaking? What does God's speaking have to do with my meaning in life? But you see, a conversation about meaning really begins with a conversation about God. A conversation about anything meaningful in life begins with a conversation about God and who God is, and particularly what God speaks. Did you notice how the book of Jonah begins? The voice of God. The story of Jonah and the story of us begins with the voice of God. Answers to life's biggest questions begin with God's voice. Begins with God speaking. In fact, life itself began with God's voice. In Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning of the story of humanity, Genesis 1, verse 1 through 3 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, okay? Picture this, you can't, but picture this, without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And so the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God what? Said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke, and it was. And that's the refrain throughout the entire creation account. God speaks, and then it is. God says, come to existence, and then it comes into existence over and over and over again. God speaks. It all begins with God, and God speaking life and meaning into creation. In the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews, referring to Jesus, says that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is sustaining the entire cosmos by the word of his power. In other words, if God were to stop speaking, you would stop existing. If God were just to cease speaking, we would be gone. It would all fall apart. And so back to the original question, what does God speaking have to do with our meaning of life? Everything. Everything. We obtain our worth, our meaning, our direction, our clarity, even our faith and our hope for the future, our everything from the voice of God. One author put it this way: God created humanity, and therefore only God can reveal to us our identity and our function. Without this biblical revelation, aka without God's voice, without God's speaking, we are lost in a maze of confusion. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're in the labyrinth of self-discovery. That maze of confusion, trying to figure out life apart from God. You wouldn't be alone. In fact, that is a portion of every one of our story. See, because God has spoken our world and our lives into existence, we just by our very nature, by the very design of our existence, are created to live and to thrive through God's regular speaking into our souls. We live and thrive and continue and are sustained by God's regular voice being spoken into our souls. That's what the scripture repeats in the Old Testament. And then Jesus says it again in Matthew chapter 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not just daily bread, not just food and nourishment for your body. You require on a daily basis the voice of God in your soul to sustain your very existence. And so the question is, how does God speak to us? How is God revealing himself to us? Maybe you're here today and you're like, okay, I'm in. I want to hear God's voice, but I can't. Maybe you envy experiences that other people have had where they feel directed by God and they feel like they've heard from God and they have this life of purpose. Maybe you're here today and it's like, I haven't never heard God's voice. I want to hear, but I can't. So how does God speak to us? The first thing we see in God's word, the way that he speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. The primary way that God communicates with humanity is the Bible, God's holy word. In fact, if you want to hear the voice of God today, or if you want to hear the voice of God tomorrow, put your ear to the word of God and hear his voice with unquestionable clarity. See, there are times in our lives where we feel directed by God, but at the end of the day, you're like, maybe that was just ambition. Am I hearing God clearly? Or I feel like God's leading me in this direction, but you come to find out that you were just afraid. And so we mask things as, you know, I heard the Lord leading me. We'll generally say, no, God's not calling me into this in this season. There's good reasons to be suspicious of our ability to discern the voice of God, okay? But when we put our ear to the word of God, we are hearing with unquestionable clarity God's will for you. God's revelation to your life. We hear clarity about who God is, his character. We hear clarity about who we are now because of who Jesus Christ is and what he's accomplished for us. And we hear how much we need the grace and transformation of Jesus Christ. We hear a lot about ourselves in the Word of God. In fact, everything we would ever need to know. Second way God speaks to us is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is called in the Word of God, the Word of God incarnate. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say, this Word took on flesh and blood and came to dwell among us. Now, for me, there's often been points in my Christianity where I've kind of questioned and wrestled this idea. How is Jesus the Word of God? That's very abstract, if you ask me. Jesus, the Word of God. It means that Jesus is everything that God would ever want to say to his world. Anything that God would ever desire to reveal to his people is found in his Son, Jesus Christ. We see God's will, we see God's redeeming love, we see God's character, we see everything about God in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And as we begin to see God's word revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ, what ends up happening is we see our own identity. Through faith in Jesus Christ, what is true of Jesus becomes true of us. Through Jesus Christ, we begin to see what God thinks about us. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we begin to see how God views our track record. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we begin to see how God views our righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, we begin to see how God views our eternity and our hope. Clarity through Jesus Christ. Additionally, God speaks to us through prayer by his Holy Spirit. There have been times in my life where I've discerned the voice of God in my own life with such clarity that I knew I would be in absolute disobedience to God to not obey. And then so I searched the word and it was confirmed. God will never speak to us in a way that contradicts his word. And so God speaks into our lives. God has directed people's lives throughout ages, throughout generations. When God says go, people go. When God says let go, people let go. When God says come home, people come home. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And we respond. I'm encouraged by hearing the stories of men and women within this church that have heard the voice of God. One specific story I heard this year of a man that felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to give a truck away to a friend because God led him to. Now, I know what you're asking. Does he need some more friends? Yes. Second question, did I get a truck out of it? No, sadly, I did not get a truck out of this deal. But seriously, God spoke to a heart and said, give it up. And he gave it up. Heard many, many accounts of men and women that have heard the voice of God as we're praying together concerning our community and concerning the season that we are in as a church. We are desperate for the Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts. I'm telling you right now, I am not Moses that goes up to the hill that gets the distinct word of God and comes down to disseminate it among you. The Spirit of God is among you, church. Speaking. Amen? Additionally, God speaks to us through the preaching of his word. Now, I know that this is sort of a conflict of interest for me to say this, so I'm going to keep this kind of brief. God speaks to us through the preaching of his word. Now, this is not to say that the communicator is flawless or infallible. That's not what's being said. But as the word of God is preached, you are hearing the words of God. Romans chapter 10 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God preached. And so as we dedicate our lives and our family to gather regularly with the body of Christ, to hear the word of God preached, the promises that our faith is being built up. God is speaking through the preaching of his word. Additionally, God speaks to us through community. The Old Testament tells us that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. We can't discern this thing alone. In fact, we get ourselves in trouble when we shut out the wise counsel of brothers and sisters in our life. That is a path of destruction. God speaks through his community. So whether it's clarity or, you know, about a circumstance or conviction over sin or God calling us to step out, God speaks. The question is not whether or not God is speaking. The question for us, church, today is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? Because the voice of God is one of the greatest gifts that we have received through communion with him. The voice of God shows us that we serve a God that is not only desiring fellowship and communion with us, but has made it available to us. The voice of God is the revelation of his pursuit to us. The word of God came to Jonah. The word of God comes to us. God initiates. We don't take a pilgrimage to some sort of sacred site to tune our ears to the voice of God. The word of God came to us. It's a revelation of his grace. It's a revelation of his initiating grace. But there's a caveat here. You guys still with me? All right. There's a caveat because Jonah is also a little bit of a cautionary tale. Okay. It's revealing God's heart, it's revealing God's plan, but it's also a cautionary tale for us to apply to our lives, because what Jonah is showing us is it's not enough to merely hear God's word. James would spend some time talking about that we can't just be hearers of God's word only, because then we're deceiving ourselves. Following hearing God, it tells us in verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, Jonah knew the voice of God. In fact, in 2 Kings 14, earlier on in scripture, it tells us that Jonah was a prophet in the land of Israel. He had heard from God and spoke to the king regarding God's word. He had experience with fellowship with God. He was familiar with the voice of God coming to him. This is not Jonah misunderstanding God, okay? If you read through Jonah last week and you're like, maybe he just misunderstood God. No. He's not misunderstanding God. This is not God not speaking clear enough. You know, if he would have given like coordinates, like GPS coordinates, maybe he would have known which direction. This is just jumping on the wrong ship. This is spiritual rebellion. Okay. Jonah is a picture of spiritual rebellion. Dallas Willard put it this way. Hearing God makes sense only in the framework of living in the will of God. Hearing God's voice will only make sense within the framework of living into the will of God. In other words, God's voice makes sense within a resolve to obey him by faith. That's where God's word makes sense. Now, we naturally, what we do is we do some goofy things. When we hear the word of God, what we naturally do is we filter it through our experience. We'll search God's word regarding a topic that we're facing, but then we will determine whether or not it's true for us based on what we want to do, or based on our emotional state, or based on our disposition. We filter God's word through our experience. That is not coming under the authority of God's word. Partial submission is no submission at all. It's not enough to hear. Many of us are doing that maybe right now. Maybe many of us are doing that right now. Filtering God's word. Yeah, I know it says this, but it doesn't seem to make sense in my life right now. Or yeah, I know it says this right now, but this other path looks like it's gonna work out better. And so many of us are doing that in regards to relationships. Many of us are doing that right now in regards to our finances. Many of us are doing that in regards to our commitments of our time. Many of us are doing that in regards to our, and even our enjoyment and pleasure of things. But the truth is, it will never make sense outside of the framework of living within the will of God. the more that we drift into self-reliance and self-dependence, the less and less God's word will make sense to us. They will look worlds apart. See, when we reject God's word, we're attempting to discover meaning and worth outside of where it is found. There was a Danish philosopher and theologian named Soren Kierkegaard. In his book, I believe it's Sickness Unto Death, he says that the human heart is constantly trying to build an identity upon something other than God. We're constantly trying to build this life on something other than God. And he goes on to say that this is based on the illusion that we are competent enough to run our own life. So when we walk in this disobedience to God's word, it's a very prideful illusion that says, I got this figured out. Thanks, God. No thanks. When we walk according to our own will, it is a prideful statement about our competence to run our world. That we've got this thing figured out. That we are competent to be God in our own lives. That we somehow could achieve our own sense of self-worth and find purpose that is big enough to give us meaning in our lives apart from God. See, being a Christian means that you have discovered that there is only more brokenness and emptiness and frustration at the end of that route. Okay? A Christian is the one that's just come to the end of their rope and determined, I am a lousy God of my own life. That's faith. I'm a horrible savior. I'm not going to save you. I can't even save myself. We come to realize that true freedom and wholeness is found the voice of God. The Bible reminds us that the source of true meaning is the voice of God. And there within his word and within his determination of who we are in Jesus Christ and are now what we're called to do and how we're called to live, that is where we discover this meaning. First thing we see is God speaks. Secondly, God sends. What does God say to Jonah? God speaks, what does he say? Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. You see, one of the most important things about understanding our meaning and our purpose is understanding God's calling in our lives. Now, I venture to say that that word has been used very loosely in your church experience. In fact, when someone says, I'm called, or I've got this calling, truth is, I probably don't know what you're talking about. So what is calling? What is God's view of calling? Well, one of the most simple, I want to make things simple on this. I want to grasp things simply. One of the most simple and yet powerful ways to describe our calling is a phrase that Jesus used all throughout his earthly ministry. It's found in every single gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is two simple words. What is it? Follow me. Okay, good. Okay, so Lord, pray for this church that is not following you in this time. Follow me. Oz Guinness said that these are the two words that changed the world forever. These are the two words that changed Matthew the tax collector's life forever. Follow me. These are the words that changed Peter and Andrew's life forever. Follow me. And these are the words that change our lives forever when Jesus speaks to our soul and says, follow me. This is eternity shaping. And whenever Jesus rescues a man and a woman from sin and out of sin through salvation, this tells us that it's a movement in a new direction. Conversion, salvation, it's a movement in an entirely new direction. The gospel isn't just good news about what we have been saved from. The gospel is good news about what we've been saved into. New life, purpose, eternity. Yes, good news of forgiveness. But the gospel speaks of the new life, new heart, new creation, new future, new hope, new purpose through following Jesus Christ. And what we've been saved into is following Jesus Christ. And this is a life of absolute purpose. This is discovering a life that is serving something bigger than ourselves. This is what Tori Kelly has been looking for. And maybe she's found. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make a statement about her salvation. That thing that I was made for, here it is. To follow Jesus Christ. To be in communion with Jesus. But here's what the disciples soon discovered about this call to follow him. I love it. He says, Matthew, follow me. He drops his things, follows him. He has no idea what he is in for, okay? What they soon discover and what we all soon discover is following Jesus means being sent. It means being sent once. Our call to follow Jesus is a call to follow him into his mission because that's where he's going. Jesus is not idle in our times. We don't just lock arms with Jesus and sit and smile. Jesus is on the move. And so to follow him means to be on the move as well. We see in the life of Jonah that God gives him one command, on your feet, go. One command, go. God is sending Jonah. He had one job. You know that Twitter account? You had one job. Okay? He had one job, and he's putting the toilet seat on backwards here. He had one commission, one calling, and in the same sense, God has given us one commission. We've talked about it often. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. The risen Christ gathers his disciples, and he says, go therefore and make disciples. The powerful thing about this statement is Jesus speaks to his disciples and subsequently to us. As Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, it is just as personal as it was when God spoke to Jonah and said, go. It's no less personal. And it's no less real for us today. Which means at the heart of our home life, at the heart of our vocation, at the heart of our community involvement, at the heart of our church commitments ought to lie one driving force, and that is to make disciples. That is the fuel of the engine of our involvement in every sphere that we're in, to make disciples. That is why God gave us his Holy Spirit, to go, to be his witnesses, whether it's in our home or across the globe and anywhere and everywhere in between. Now, we have to imagine that Jonah, in a way, understood this because it doesn't say that he arose and he fled from his calling. As we read through the book of Jonah last week, he's not running from the calling of God. That's not at least what it says. It doesn't say that he's running from the voice of God or the word of God. It says that he fled from the presence of God. Why? Because he knew that they were one and the same. In other words, Jonah knew that fellowship with God was not compatible with disregarding his calling. Being in the presence of God was not compatible with disregarding God's voice in his life. He knew he couldn't keep raising his voice on Sunday and then remain silent Monday morning. I want to finish this quote by Paul Tripp. You guys still with me? All right. Paul Tripp says this, your life is much bigger than a good job, an understanding spouse, and non-delinquent kids. Now, don't get me wrong, that's amazing. Yeah. It's not less. But it's much bigger than a good job, understanding spouse, and non-delinquent kids. It is bigger than beautiful gardens, nice vacations, and fashionable clothes, or fill in the blank. In reality, you are part of something immense. Now hear these words to you. Something that began before you were born and will continue after you die. God is rescuing fallen humanity, transporting them into his kingdom and progressively shaping them in his likeness, and he wants you to be a part of it too. That is what you have been brought into in fellowship with God. And this is that thing that you were made for. The truth is, until you understand this call, the Christian life is not going to make any sense. In fact, the direction of your Monday will become so out of sync with the direction of your Sunday that sooner than later, it'll just be irreconcilable. The demands of your life, the allure to the American dream or whatever it may be, will become so overwhelming apart from a firm conviction about what we have been called and what we've been called into. it just won't make sense. We have to discover that there is no greater fulfillment than when we are living into our calling to join Jesus in seeking redemption and renewal. No greater fulfillment, which means that you're not waiting for the next season of life to be fulfilled. You're not waiting for that relationship. You're not waiting for that degree. You're not waiting for that job. You're not waiting for this obstacle to be out of your life. You're not even waiting for this thorn to be removed to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That opportunity has been opened to you now. Now, as God had called Jonah to that great city with the only message that could save it, so God is calling us to our city with the only message that saves. In the book of Jonah, there was one hope for Nineveh. In the city of Stockton, there is one hope for our city. And that hope is the message that God gives the church. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the powerful message of Christ taking on flesh, living among us, living the life that we can't, dying the death that we deserve, on the third day, rising from the grave, ascending to the right hand of the Father, sending his Holy Spirit, and promising, I'm going to come back and make this all right again. That gospel, that hope. Let me conclude with this thought, because I've got to end this, but before we are sent, we are pursued. Before we are sent, sent ones, we are pursued ones. See, we do this funny thing when we read stories. What we do is we naturally identify with the least bad person in a story, okay? That's what you guys already did with Jonah. That's what you did this morning. But within Jonah, there's this strange literary device. The writer of Jonah set a booby trap in verse 2. Here's how it goes. The writer is leading us to identify with Jonah, the guy that seems to be the one that's going to save the day. We're reading through it. Nineveh, evil. That's not me. Jonah seems like a decent guy. Hears from God. He's going to save the day. I'm going to identify with Jonah. We probably did that within the first two verses. But the funny thing is that at that very moment that we identified with Jonah, he moves in the opposite direction. Verse number 3, off to Tarshish. We get tricked into identifying with the character that the book actually spends the most time highlighting his flaws and God pursuing him. Why? Because as the Bible tells us, we have all sinned. We're not ready to accept that. We got to be booby-trapped into that. We have all sinned. We have all strayed from God. We have all rebelled against God. Jonah was in no less of God's, you know, in no less need of God's grace than Nineveh. And the truth is, we are in no less need of God's grace than our city. It's not us identifying with the least bad person. It's us identifying with sinful humanity and our need for God's grace in our life. This is what Jonah will lead us to see all throughout this story. It's before we are sent, we're pursued. And this is important because our meaning and our identity are not based on how well we're going to do within this calling. Our identity and our meaning and our purpose are not based on how well we are going to carry out this Christianity thing. If that was the case with Jonah, it'd be a real short story. Verse 1, God speaks. Verse 2, God sends. Verse 3, Jonah says, nah. Verse 4, God says, peace out. I'm going to Micah, next prophet. That'd be a real short story. 4 verses. We could make a couple sermons out of that, but it's still a pretty short story. Our meaning, our purpose, our identity is based, hear me please, it's based on the undeserved favor that God has shown us when he chose to pursue us and forgive us and transform our lives and welcome us into his story of redemption. And within these two verses, these first two verses, we see a clear depiction of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God comes, Jesus Christ. Says, arise. And as Jesus spoke to his friend Lazarus, Lazarus, arise. So he has spoken resurrection life into our souls. And then he says, go. Christ came to us, spoke life into us, and now has sent us as his representatives to our city and beyond. And so as Jesus pursued us, so we arise to pursue the lives of others, to pursue our neighbors, to pursue our city, to pursue our globe. And I want you to hear that. I want you not only to hear this today, I want you to hear that Monday morning. arise, go. I want you to hear this Wednesday when you are ready to give up on the week already. Arise, go. I want you to hear this Friday night when you are peacing out on life. Arise, go. Arise, go. Or as Jesus said to his disciples and to us, as the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you.
Thanks for listening to the Reality Church Stockton podcast. If you've been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving financially. For more info on how to give, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.